Hey everybody, welcome back to your favorite travel podcast, Amazing Adventures with David and Nicole. I, of course, am your host, Josh, and it has been a while. We've had some travelers traveling to bring more stories, but today we are going to say wee and go to old Paris. This was the Make-A-Wish trip, if I'm not mistaken, and David, I guess whenever you're ready, just take it away.
Well, so for those of you who've listened previously, you heard a story of our marriage in the children's hospital, and it was an interesting thing. The folks from Make-A-Wish came to see Luke in his hospital bed early on during the process, long before.
Well, for those who haven't listened to the previous podcasts, my son Luke had acute myeloid leukemia, and he was in the hospital for 6.5 months with intense high-dose chemo, and he ended up in heart failure from the chemotherapy. So
if you want
to
hear,
going to be granted a Make-A-Wish as a result.
So if you want to hear that podcast, make sure to go listen to the beginning.
Yes. That's a long, happy story with a happy ending. Luke's alive. But one of the things that was interesting to me was they came to see him because it was a very serious illness. And I had always thought that Make-A-Wish was kind of like, the last wish, so to speak. But Luke recovered and got out of the hospital, and we were contacted a few months later and told that his wish had been granted, even though he'd recovered, so which I did not know. And it's another great thing about Make-A-Wish. We worked with Make-A-Wish of Central Texas, a good friend of mine, Steve Foster, very involved with that organization. Raises money for them every year with his golf tournament. And so the trip had been granted in the spring of 2016, and we got to take it in the summer of 2017. So we waited over a year and a half to take the trip, over a year from when we were told it would be granted. And Luke's wish included not just his mother, but me, his stepfather, and both of my children. And so he wanted to go to Paris. Why don't you, Mom, tell him about...
His wish was he wanted to cook with a French chef in Paris. Part of that wish, he wanted his new step-siblings to be with him and his stepfather. So we made the whole trip. The Make-A-Wish Foundation employs they have volunteer travel agents that set up everything. So our travel agent handled everything for us. I kind of put, of course, I couldn't just let somebody have full, control. I did my own research and found some tips, some things to make it better for the money that we were allowed. So we were able to get more from the money, from Make-A-Wish's money. Through, my own research.
I'm surprised you didn't come back with a job from Make-A-Wish afterwards.
Well, it would have been volunteer, so... and I didn't have time to volunteer. Paris wasn't a place that David and I necessarily wanted to go to ourselves. Luke wanted to because on my father's side is, a French descent, from France to Quebec, and my dad was born in Maine, so, the family went through that, that's how they got to America, and so Luke's always been fascinated with the French culture, and he enjoyed cooking, and so that's why he wanted to cook with a French chef in Paris. And he was never a typical boy, wasn't into sports and things like that. So Paris really suited him a little better.
Was this just a random French chef, or was this like a celebrity French chef? Or
Just a French trained chef. So,
gotcha.
It turned out when we actually did the experience with the cooking with the French chef that he was from Chef Alex from Houston, Texas.
Yeah, that was.
It was just came. It just happened that way. But because he was trained in Paris in the French way of cooking, he is a French chef. Yes. And we were in a French chef, like it was designed to do cooking demonstrations.
Right.
Like
she said, being a French chef doesn't mean you're French. It means you're trained in the French culinary arts.
Correct. Yeah, which we didn't realize.
Right. There was quite a lot about Paris that we didn't realize going in. And I'd always had mixed emotions about going to Paris. I'm very loyal, true red, white, and blue American. And the reputation that Paris, particularly Paris and France in general, had gotten towards Americans over the last few decades had really kind of turned me off. And so I felt like, you know, if they wanted to look down their noses at us, I didn't need to spend my time there. I still dream about going to Italy, and I've got no Italian in me. I've got no, although I was raised on Italian food, around Italians all the time. Given my choice, I would have preferred that. So Paris turned out to be a pleasant surprise. They've worked hard to repair that, the way they approach foreigners, and particularly Americans, because we came to realize they were losing tourism dollars to other European countries. And we were treated very well. And then the French chef thing was another thing. Almost everybody's seen things about Paris, or many people have been there. It's an interesting, one of the top international cities in the world. You know, if you think back just a few centuries ago, it wasn't English that was spoken everywhere you went. It was French. You know, you had to know how to speak French to conduct business in the international community, you know, as recently as the 18th and 19th centuries. So, of course, Paris is a little bit of everything. And we got 6 days. It was extremely generous trip for us. We headed out.
It's a very, you know, historic place. Just walking on the cobblestone streets, and just everywhere you look, you just see history.
Yeah.
It's so much older than anything in America. It was, everybody was so nice, and most spoke some English. And the food was, we had one okay meal. The rest were just outstanding. Every meal was just incredible. And just walking on the streets smell like bread.
Yeah, it was a very weight-gaining experience for us. They put us in a little apartment. They call it a flat over there. It was two bedrooms. The boys shared one bedroom. We had another. My daughter took the couch. And it was on the very far northern part of Paris.
In Montmartre.
Yeah, which is also the only really elevated part of Paris. There's a church there, Sacré-Cœur, that you can go to, and it's a historic old church, and they have a grassy lawn outside it, and you can sit outside Sacré-Cœur and see the whole city of Paris below you. So that was a great experience. Of course, what wasn't a great experience about that was our trek to and from the metro multiple times a day was quite a trek. It was uphill one way every time. And what we really didn't completely realize at the time was that even though it had been almost a year and a half since Luke had left the hospital, he was still ailing. So he was still in recovery. As most people who, if you've had cancer or been close to someone who has, you would know that. We didn't realize it at the time. So it was tough on him, and my kids are big, throw on a backpack that weighs almost half as much as they do and march around. So that bit was tough. It would have been nicer to be more centrally located, but it was a really pretty section of Paris. You know, we had the bakery.
It's an artist community.
Right.
Right there in Montmartre. And the Airbnb had actually donated the Airbnb, it would be a flat to us. So they teamed up with Make-A-Wish. And, that was our first experience with Airbnb. And we've used Airbnb multiple times since then because we had such a great experience with that company.
Right.
Not sponsored, but willing.
So we had, in addition to the cooking, and so everyone, well, what did you cook? So back then, Luke was a picky eater, so it was pretty funny. He made a veal chop that was the
rack of veal.
Best veal we've ever had in our lives. Nicole has managed to duplicate it here, of course.
Yeah, Chef Alex gave us the recipe.
Right. He also, while we were there, we had recently started to make prime rib every once in a while at home, and we were looking for a good recipe. And he gave us one for that, too, although it's got to be the world's simplest recipe. You know, I've got it memorized because there's like three steps.
Right.
But the veal chop was outstanding. The accompaniments were great.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And the whole experience cooking with them. And an added thing that we didn't find out about until a few days before was we got accompanied on that little excursion. People Magazine sent a reporter and photographer, and they actually did an article, and you can still find it on the internet. So it was cool to have, like, you know, this whole People Magazine, and they took us to a castle that we hadn't even seen information on, and it was an incredible castle that we wouldn't have gone to if it wasn't for the photographer with People Magazine that actually took us there.
Right. It was a few stops on the metro away from where we had done the cooking, and it was about a 400 or 500-year-old castle, you know, separated by a true small but true moat on the remote outskirts of on the eastern side of Paris that had survived all the wars, and particularly, you know, World War II. Paris was pretty devastated, but this castle was it was at grounds. I mean, at back in the day, it was probably actually a full city, you would think. Yeah. So we had
Paris is very easy to get around because of the subway. The subway is it's easy to navigate, to get on and off. They do shut the door really fast, though, so you got to get out when the door opens. And if there's a whole bunch of people, we actually got separated at one point because a couple of us couldn't get off of the metro as quickly as the others. So they got off, we got stuck on, and had to go get, you know, end up trying to figure out how to meet back up. But, you know, like, even Google Maps is real great about telling you exactly which line you need to go on, and which station to go to. And so it was really cool. They kind of left us on our own for the most part. They scheduled a few things, Make-A-Wish did. But one thing that I had discovered, I mean, they were going to do, like, tickets for certain museums, and he had to narrow it down to which ones he wanted to go to. And I found out that you can get the Paris Museum Pass, and it was cheaper than the number of museums that they were going to allow us to go ahead and get the pass. And you can do up to over 50 different museums it gives you a pass into. And
it's a no-brainer.
It's like $77 for, you know, 3 days or something like that.
I bet you they've changed their policy because of that since.
No, it's still, I actually looked it up. It's still there.
Really?
Well, yes.
The Make-A-Wish people?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
That's,
well,
what
it's,
I was
just
say.
It was the travel agent. So I don't think that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So they said, this is how much money you have to spend on it. And the travel agent does the research.
Gotcha.
But I had discovered that. And so, and with that museum pass, if anybody's going to Paris, I recommend you get that, because you actually get skip the line on some, which the Louvre, that was critical because the line for the Louvre is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we got to just skip the line and go right on in with the museum pass.
Yeah. Were we able to use it at Notre Dame as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's sweet.
I mean, the thing about...
And we saw Notre Dame this is 2017.
Right,
so
before the fire.
It was 2 years before the fire.
Yeah, when we saw the fire, I think Luke cried when he saw the news about the fire.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about it, if you've listened to any of our other podcasts, you know, that Nicole and I will pack as much into a trip as we possibly can. And Paris was no exception. In 6 days, One of the things we did late, in part because this trip was also before Nicole's car accident, which led to her vestibular injury, which led to her being prescribed the patches, Dramamine patches. So now, you know, she can go on a rocky boat on, you know, on an ocean and no problem. But back then, the thought of getting on anything that floated on water was a very big no for her and pretty big no for Luke. Late in the trip, we did do a river cruise on a flat bottom boat up and down the Seine. Seine. And that was eye-opening. We should have done that first because it really gives you a good idea of the layout of the city, the bridges you want to cross to, based on where you want to go. You know, we went to multiple museums, but yeah. Being on the river and getting to see the city laid out, you know, you don't even realize that in the heart of Paris, there's essentially a small little island, which is where Notre Dame is, and the Bureau of Justice that's in a building that's been there for several hundred years. Mm-hmm. What was the other museum we went to where we saw the Van Gogh exhibit?
That was Musée d'Orsay.
Right.
And it's all Impressionist artists. It's in a former railway station. So just the building itself is just gorgeous. Is, you know, because back then they built railway stations, you know, over the top. And it's just beautiful. And then, you know, all the Impressionist art is incredible.
And it's walking distance to a military hospital that is adjacent to a one-time military installation that is now Napoleon's tomb.
Yeah.
Which we knew that Napoleon's tomb was somewhere, and we went all around, and we'd never found it. The map wasn't working. The GPS map wasn't working well that one day, and we completely missed it. But it's walking distance from that other museum and
the Rodin.
And the Rodin Museum, which was in a movie. A famous movie, but
Rodin's a sculptor, so there was a lot of sculptures and like even some of his sculptures were out in his garden. It's a beautiful garden. So that's a really cool museum because of all the different things you can see. We did do the Eiffel Tower, and he wanted to do that at night. So that was something that was a separate scheduled deal. So we did the Eiffel Tower at night, and when he got up there, he started crying, and we'd had some drama with him because of all the walking. So what is wrong? And he said, it's just so beautiful. So it was like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah.
Now, I have heard that the Eiffel Tower is not as tall as you would think it is. Is that the impression you got?
I thought it was pretty tall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seemed pretty tall.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a skyscraper, so to speak, but it lights up at night. We got to go up in a lit night.
And I didn't realize that it twinkles. You know, the lights aren't just on. It twinkles, and it's different sequences of the twinkling, and I had no idea until I saw it, and it's beautiful.
So,
Oh, and by the way, you can go up the towers in the Notre Dame Cathedral, but just to warn you, it's 422 steps to the top.
Yeah.
All of my legs were like shaking when we came back down. It was such a trek.
Yeah. Plus you could walk from one tower to the other on a version of an outdoor bridge. And if you have a physical fear of heights like I do, it's rather traumatic experience. I barely survived. One night we went to Sacré-Cœur, and I had procured a bottle of champagne and some glasses.
Yeah, this was the night that we took for ourselves. We left the kids. We were, you know, I mean, in one little place with the kids and going all day and all night. And we We needed a break from them. They needed a break from us. So, and they really enjoyed. They went exploring on their own. That just, you know, because they're older teenagers by this point, other than Luke, and we knew we could trust them. So they went off exploring on their own, and we went to a nice romantic dinner in the little artist village, and then went to the Sacré-Cœur
with our bottle of champagne, and we could see the city at night. And I'm looking at one of our pictures, and you know, here we are looking down over Paris, and there's the well-lit Eiffel Tower in the background. And then we did a couple over by a gate in the area. I went to another little cafe side bar for some late drinks, and you know, there's just a little bit of everything there. One of the other tours that Luke wanted to do was the catacombs, which I wasn't really even aware of what exactly they were when we went.
Yeah, so way back when, Paris started running out of space. They had all of these cemeteries, and they were running out of space for their people. So they dug up a bunch of these cemeteries, and they've put these bodies, these bones, down in the catacombs. So you can go down into the catacombs, and there are thousands of skulls and bones, you know, of humans. And it's kind of... could be creepy or cool, or you know, depending
eerie.
Yeah, depending on, but like they've done some neat things, like put the skulls in like a cross formation with the bones around them. So you know, and there's like a little church down in there. So it's interesting. You definitely want to pay for a guided tour, because the lines for the catacombs is really, really bad. You have to get there very, very early, and then you still might not get in, depending on how many people are waiting to get in, because they limit. This was before the pandemic, and they were limiting how many people go in at a time. So yeah, I can't imagine what it is now.
Almost like an agricultural phenomenon, like Blue Hole or what's the place out towards German Springs? Hamilton Pool. Yeah. Something like that, where they limit it so that it's not,
right,
you know, so much obstruction, yeah, going on.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is you're dealing with 300, 400, 500-year-old
corpses.
Skulls, yeah, and, you know, remains. And so there's an element of, you know, respectfulness. And then there's also the element of, you know, you could do damage.
Right. Yeah.
So it's heavily guarded and watched.
And they have... there's only parts of it that are open to the public. There's a lot of it that's closed off to the public that, you know, nobody's allowed to go in, except some of the guides have access.
Right.
We did the Arc de Triomphe.
The Arc de Triomphe.
Because that was, you know, you have to do that. And we went up the stairs of that. That was much more reasonable.
Yeah, until you got to the roof. The stairs weren't bad, but the roof was... But it's four-sided and it's close to downtown, so you know, you walk to each edge and look over the north, south, east, and western parts of the city. One little thing, when I was 12, I had become a pretty big fan of the music of the Doors, and then I read the biography of Jim Morrison that had been written by somebody who had started out as a roadie with the band, as a teenager with the band, and he ended up writing there. The Jim Morrison's biography, and I was pretty fascinated with him, which I may not say a lot of great things about me, but I always knew the story of his death in Paris and the fact that, you know, he was apparently in the 70s, if you were a famous musician of some sort and you died under mysterious circumstances, there were rumors that you didn't die. There was always rumors that Jim Morrison had gone off to Africa, just like Elvis wasn't dead. And but he did die in Paris and was buried there, and his grave has become a shrine in one of the more famous cemeteries in France. There were quite a few other famous people who are buried in that cemetery. But, you know, I smuggled in a beer in my backpack and went to his grave and had a beer with Jim Morrison. And, you know, there are flowers all over it, and there's beer cans and candles. Somebody's put a framed picture of him. You know, it's clearly they're hope wishing... that grave would stop being such an attraction. But the fact of the matter is, it's still that big of an attraction. So that was a real thrill for me.
Yeah, it was important for Luke, for David to get to do that as well.
So,
we did have a crazy story on this trip.
Oh, yeah. What was
the crazy story was, so we wanted to go to the Palace de Justice, but it was actually closed that day.
The one that was on, like, the island?
Yeah, it's near Notre Dame.
Okay.
So, you know, because we're both in, you know, the law field, that was something that was kind of cool, you know, Palace of Justice. So, since we could go in, we wanted the kids to take a picture of the two of us in front of it. So we sent them across the street. Luke had a camera, and then we had Austin taking the official picture. And we look across.
With your camera phone.
Right, with my camera. And then we look across the street, and it's Austin, Morgan, and Luke across the street. Luke's taken with his own camera.
Standing in that order. So the boys are on the outside and Morgan's in the middle. And Luke has his camera to take his picture, and Austin has his camera to take his picture. This is really hard to recreate on audio and not video, but when we get to the point across the street where we want to stand and we turn and we look up, Luke's got his camera raised to his face, and Austin has Nicole's phone raised to his face, and Morgan was standing there with her fingers in front of her face as if she was holding a camera, but without holding a camera. Yeah. And it just...
So she wouldn't be left out.
And it just caught us both by such a surprise. The two of us started laughing so much. Well, so there it is. We need to get this picture to to Josh. Yeah, they recreated it. Yeah, that was hysterical. That was a really funny
Yeah,
moment.
That was funny. Oh, and then there was the kids recreating the...
My idiot kids? Yeah, so where we were and where the metro is, because the metro under Paris is level all across the city, and the city is 90% level all across it. So everywhere in the city in Paris you go to get down to the metro, you're going down to maybe three flights of stairs. But up at Montmartre, you were going down a lot of levels, and that was one of the things that was driving Luke insane. Was we weren't first, we'd have to walk a little bit uphill to get to the metro station. Then once we entered, we had to walk a longer, winding, you know, path to get down to the metro. And at the end of the day or night, we had to walk up that path. And they have movie posters and restaurant posters. All kinds of different posters are in the are lining the walls of the walkway through down to the metro. And my kids, especially back then, Morgan and Austin, were so, they would just riff off of each other really, really off the top of their heads in a funny, crazy way. So one day we were walking, and it was towards the end of the trip, and I think Luke was probably would have been happier with a 4-day trip than a 6-day trip. And he really was not having much of the walking anymore, but we weren't going to quit. You know, at that time we hadn't started traveling so much. We had no idea when we might ever be back. And so Nicole was really struggling with them. And my kids would just keep going on and doing what they're doing. One day we're walking in almost in a line with Luke in the back and Nicole in between me and Luke. I'm in the middle and my two were up front, and they start taking turns posing in really ridiculous poses for like a split second, and then walking on and whatnot, and then it hit me, they get their sense of humor from me without a doubt, and it hit me what they were doing, and I just stopped. You idiots. And they just both burst out laughing like it was the funniest thing in the world. And they said, and Nicole's like, what? I said, do you know what they're doing? And they were laughing so hard, they were trying to tell her and they couldn't. I said, they are mimicking the positioning of the bodies of the people or the animals. I think one of the Planet of the Apes movies was out at the time, and there was a poster, and they would mimic the poses on the posters, taking turns going down the metro. I was like,
to entertain themselves.
To entertain themselves. I'm like, I knew what they were doing. They knew what I knew what they were doing. It was ridiculous. So that was another one of the crazy stories.
But it was a really great trip.
It was an incredibly good trip. And we're very, you know, we're really glad we got to go. We're grateful to Make-A-Wish, Central Texas. We're grateful to Airbnb. We're grateful to Teal and her husband, Teal McKee, was the travel agent who helped
set everything up.
You know, the flights and the Airbnb, People Magazine. It definitely was first class all the way. And we would go back to Paris. We'd go back to France. I think we'd want to see more of France, maybe not so much Paris. I mean, I really love history and would love to see, and everybody says you've got to go to Normandy, and I would want to do that. I would also want to go to the French Riviera possibly. So we definitely got a lot out of Paris in six days.
Yeah, definitely would need to go see some of those beaches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right. What did we forget to bring? Who did we collect? Well, we collected Alex, our chef.
And his recipes.
And his recipes. Oh, and one more cool story. 2 years prior, it wasn't me and Nicole, but my other family had a foreign exchange student, a girl from Germany, that just clicked with Morgan. And she had gone back to Germany in June of 2016. Well, when we got there, her parents sent her, you know, they're a lot more, European kids are much more well-traveled by the time they're 19 or 20. And she came over from Germany and spent a night and 2 days with us. Went to a couple of the museums. And
well, you can cross a couple countries in the time that you could leave Texas.
Right.
Yes.
So.
Right.
Definitely.
So we got to see Lara, which was great, but we'd already collected her. And, so I would definitely say that if you're like me and you felt for a long time that, you know, you didn't want to go someplace where you felt Americans weren't wanted and you'd heard that or believed that about Paris, they've corrected that. It's not true. We had a very good trip, and we're grateful to everyone that made it happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, that was a wonderful story. Great way to follow up the wedding stories that we had on recently, and let's look forward to the next one.